Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here in Pasadena, California, with Jason Bowden-Smith, our great entrepreneur ally. We've heard Jason join me to talk about making waves in 5G, and I met up with Jason here in Pasadena. He's been on a search, going to conferences, doing investigation into technology as a serial entrepreneur. He's always on the lookout for a good business opportunity, and he was here in California to go to a conference, and I sat down with him and said, okay, tell me what you're learning on technology and the application. And I was so excited about what he said. I said, look, you just have to jump onto Money and Markets for a short segment and give us a briefing on what you're seeing, what you're finding, what you're observing. So, Jason, I can't thank you enough for joining me for Money and Markets.
Catherine, thank you for inviting me, and I'm always willing to share with you and the members of Solari. An organization I truly love. So,
thank you. Change is upon us.
Yeah, and the way I like to describe it, there's 12 to 15 waves hitting your shore. These waves are not small, they're giant, maybe tsunamis for many of you. And humans always like to think linearly. So they think gradual increases maybe or decreases. This is exponential.
Right.
And we're hitting the top of the curve.
Right.
So it's coming really quick.
Right.
So just to keep things short, because we could literally be here all day, I've summarized into kind of converged several technologies.
Clusters.
Into a packet. Yeah, like clusters. Which relate to each other. And we'll quickly breeze through them because it's going to take too long. So the first cluster I put together is energy, connectivity, and transport. And the reason I start with energy is everything is energy.
Right.
Where is it coming from?
Right.
So most of the listeners will know that fossil fuels are on the way out, and renewables are on the way in.
Right.
The main renewable is solar. Wind is also going well, and it's really getting serious. Coal plants cost around 5 to 6 cents a kilowatt hour to run. The latest solar panels installed in Dubai, one in Chile, and I think one in New Zealand, are running around 2 to 3 cents.
So the efficiency has improved dramatically on solar.
Dramatically. Through material science and some other technology, which we'll talk about. So with that change, we go, well, that's well and good, but how are we going to capture it?
Right.
So we're seeing lithium state. So not the current lithium-ion batteries that we see in our phones. These are solid-state lithium batteries that are coming on the market the next few years, and that's going to solve our storage problems. And that was always been the issue. So the Tesla cars will now travel for 3 days instead of 200
miles. You may not be realized, but the president just slapped a new tariff on solar panels coming from China.
Wow.
And I suspect that it's dovetailing with the fact that now solar is very much at these economics. When you solve the battery problem, it's really in the game in a big way.
Correct. Right. So cheap energy allows so much.
So let me just stop and mention one thing. The number one cost of manufacturing in this country is not labor, it's energy.
Correct.
And then, of course, transit energy. If you look at the household budget, energy is in every price they deal with and every line item they deal with.
So once we have access to really cheap, it may even become almost free energy.
Right.
Without the exotics, which they probably won't bring out because that opens up too many questions, we're going to see massive disruption throughout all of industry, all of transport.
Right.
And it's coming now. It's here. The waves are hitting our shores now. So I want our listeners to get ready for that. So what does it mean? So these autonomous vehicles, which are being trialed all around the world, there's trucks driving up and down highways in Australia and America with a driver laying in the back asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on. So just a couple of tidbits. Uber is buying 24,000 vehicles, autonomous vehicles, that they're going to start using in 2019. They're using Volvos, of course, the safe brand, in 2019 and 2020. So these are driverless cars they're looking at launching in a couple of years' time.
Right.
Other things that are going on, all the manufacturers are going... All the European car manufacturers, which are probably the best in the world, they're all stopping production in about 2030, some a little bit later. So it's only they're only going to make autonomous cars.
Right.
Electric cars. They're not going to make motor vehicles anymore. We're basically driving computers now.
Right.
We're not driving a car. So another little tidbit, BMW is bringing out a car with no steering wheel and no pedals in 2 years.
Wow.
As a demonstration model. So I want people to know it's coming now. There's a lot of business people in our community, and I want them to start thinking, what impact is this having on a trucking company, courier company, car parking? We're not going to need car parking. And even real estate.
Well, deliveries. Think of all the small businesses that can now afford to do deliveries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, employment's going to be hit quite hard. If you lose trucking as a major employment sector, then that's a big deal. And health is also one that I'm concerned about greatly, which we'll talk about in a minute. So don't think they're stopping there. They are now trialing air taxis. So the Jetsons are coming. They're trialing them in Dubai. I think it'll take a lot longer to get the air taxis approved because the laws and regulations about flying are much stricter than they are on land.
Right.
Some of the rockets that are going, they're now talking about using the rockets to fly, say, from New York to Sydney in 20 minutes.
Right. So instead of it taking me 18... Well, no, because I have to go through Memphis. I mean, it takes me a day to get to Sydney. Now I could get there in an hour.
Correct.
Right.
So it's not just cars. There's so much of this technology coming onto the market now. I really don't want to go to Mars. I'm quite happy to come and see Tennessee if it only takes for 20 minutes.
You know, I wanted to mention this because... And we'll talk about it more in the first quarter wrap-up, but I've been researching the component parts of the economics around space and this real push into space. And one of the things I hadn't realized until I read one of the big research report from one of the brokerage houses, that right now the economics of the suborbital platform are very much driven by TV and TV signals. The you know, it's going to being driven by the internet cloud, so much more internet through the satellites instead of just cable. But the biggest use of the Internet of Things is autonomous cars.
Yeah.
That is going to be the mother load of the economics of the suborbital platform.
And that's a great segue into the next cluster I've put together. The next section of this cluster is connectivity. Now, you know, I know a lot about EMF.
Right.
And I'm extremely concerned about the rollout of 5G. But what are we doing? We're connecting the whole global population onto the cloud, onto the internet. So 7 billion people will be online around 2025.
Right.
That's massive. And they're going from...
Right, and it took really 2011... Smartphones hit when? 2009, 2010?
Well, they
But it really took 2011 to 2016 was the first billion. And that was a remarkable shift. Mm-hmm. Now bringing in...
So we're going from about 2.8 billion to 7 billion in 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Because they're skipping cable. Like, we had all the wires and all the cables, and they're going straight to wireless.
Right.
Which I'm not a huge fan of, but that's what they're doing.
Right.
And it's not just the wireless that we're used to in the West. They've got Google or Alphabet, as they're now known, have got these Project Loon, so they've got these balloons, which they flew over Puerto Rico in the disaster and solved their connection problem just to trial it out. It's now working. So they'll be flying those over Africa and the emerging countries. We've got the satellites and even drones they're thinking about putting this technology on. So we're going to saturate our environments with very high density electromagnetic waves. A lot of them are going to be millimeter waves, which is the new 5G technology. And it's a serious concern for me and should be for everybody.
Very, very serious concern for me too.
So I want people to think about we're going from connected homes to connected cars to connected buildings to connected cities and to connected people. Everyone's connected through this wireless communication system. We can talk about 5G till the cows come home, but the main concern I have is it's here. It's not coming. So all the major trials are being finalized this year. Next week, the Seoul Winter Olympics will be using 5G as their communication system. In a few months' time, I think it's July, the Commonwealth Games in Australia, in the Gold Coast, will be using 5G. These are the big prototype trials that they're using to finalize the standards and the technology. and then they're going to roll it out really quickly.
Right, and we just saw a reauthorization in this country of the NSA permitting warrantless surveillance. So when they say warrantless surveillance with 4G, that's a very different kettle of fish than warrantless surveillance with 5G. Correct. So we're talking about a deeply invasive electronic mechanism, both physically invasive, but also I think the, you know, the step up in what they can do in terms of mind control is extraordinary.
That's the number one concern, because if they can turn people's emotions and mental state to doing violence or right. worse, then...
This is the Kingsman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to go into the mitigation strategies, but a couple of things you need to think about. Rural properties,
right.
getting away from the population density, lowering the number of devices you have around you is going to be critical. You need to focus on human resiliency, your health. You need to optimize your health so you can withstand some of the onslaught that's coming.
Right.
Just don't buy the devices.
Right.
So don't buy the Fitbits for the kids. Don't buy the tablets. Don't buy the Amazon Alexa that speaks to you. And all the other things that has anything smart, do not buy it. That's the key.
Now, I need a smartphone for travel, but I leave it in the car.
Yeah.
It's
not. Or put it in airplane mode when you're not using it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to the next section, which is I've grouped together software, AI, robots, material science, and 3D printing.
And material science is the one, I think, which is so dramatic. We've covered it on the Salyer Report before, but it's hard to kind of understand how impactful it's going to be. So maybe if you could focus there.
All right. The best way is to pick one of the new materials. Graphene is a great example. So graphene is just carbon.
Right.
It's like a carbon pencil. But they've now been able to build it so it's so ultralight, it's 10 times stronger than concrete, and it also conducts heat and electricity. It's
wow.
like a super material.
Right.
I've got some colleagues who are making graphene now in Brisbane, and they're so excited. They think they can't keep up with demand and have to build another factory. So the great thing about material science is the periodic table is now open for discovery.
Right.
So you've got all the elements on the periodic table, all have different capabilities. You can set down a question, feed it into an artificial intelligence, and say, I want to achieve X. And it'll go off and think and spit out, we'll use a little bit of this and a little bit of that and some of that, put it together.
You can use AI to build very specific recipes.
Correct. And they can think about that problem much quicker than you can. So once they come up with the answer, you can then use a 3D printing machine to print out the component. Then you can take that component, prototype it, see if it works. If it's not quite right, go back and refine it. So you can invent new things so quickly, so sharply, and eventually, oh, I can't predict the future, but it's just going to be incredible what's coming.
Right.
And throwing in...
Well, it dramatically lowers the cost of trying things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the invention room, as we like to talk about a lot, is going to get wild.
Well, it was really funny because the first time somebody showed me a space elevator, you know, the idea of taking
Japanese.
An elevator up to the International Space Station, I was like, oh, come on. And then I looked at what graphene could do, if you could make it economic. That was the key, was how do you get graphene down to economic? But somehow we always seem, to find a way to ride that curve down. And you realize, oh my God, we could build an elevator to the International Space Station.
I know, it's insane.
Yeah.
Another little example is the reason solar cells are going to be so successful and so cheap is a new material. A new compound they've developed. I always get it wrong, but perovskite, PEROVSKITE. And it's going to bring the price of solar panels and the efficiency to levels that's it. There is no more fossil fuels. So all these materials at the base, just like energy is for conductivity and,
right.
and transport and all that, material science is to 3D printing, is to robots, is to even software and AI because,
right.
yeah, it impacts so much. And they all converge together. And when you get these waves all coming together, it's just amazing what's going to happen and happen so quickly. A couple of little things about AI that we should know. Sophia became a citizen a couple of months ago. So Dubai's.
I don't buy that. That was a trick.
But this is where they want to take it. We right. need to be aware of the direction.
Yeah, they want us to be machines and robots to be humans. I get that.
And a lot of people say, oh, machines don't have any empathy. Well, a New Zealand company called Soul Machines
uh-huh.
has now developed AI and software for call centers and any customer service where the level of empathy in this AI is actually nearly superior to most humans who come to work cranky sometimes. another quick one, HireVue, which is AI interviewing people around the world for a job.
Uh-huh.
And they can do all the culling for you, and you get a couple of candidates that you can go and vet
actually,
and interview.
Actually, for a busy executive, it's a huge time saver.
And this is what technology is doing, productivity. Now, the automation and productivity is just going to...
Right, but here's the challenge. If you look at the economy, you have the private sector, you have the government sector, and anything that makes increases productivity in the private sector is being applied in a way that reduces productivity in the general population, the government sector, and the net is a negative. Mm-hmm. So productivity growth is slowing, and productivity in the general population is I would say is negative, and you got a huge negative return on investment on the government money. So part of what this new technology is going to have to do is let us look at things on an integrated basis, which is not what the leadership wants.
So I don't want to mention blockchain and cryptocurrencies too much, but you were right, Catherine. What was the announcement today?
The UK has announced they're putting out a gold cryptocurrency. I said, you know, here it comes. Here, the giant sucking sound into the sovereign blockchain cryptocurrencies backed with gold.
And they've brought out the big hitter.
Okay, for 20 London. Years I've been saying they're going to steal everything with fiat currency, and once they've stolen it, they're going to protect what they stole with sound money. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we could talk about blockchain a lot, but we're not going to. I'll just mention one thing for the marketers out there, which was kind of cool that I saw. There's a company called VBlock, and they're going to have VAtoms as their token. And it's experiential currency. So think about Pokemons, that Pokemon craze where people were going crazy. Well, now you can use it for marketing. So you uh-huh. could take Starbucks coffee and you could have all these, you know, virtual kind of Starbucks coffee cups around the place and get people all excited in that currency so they can redeem stuff for coffee. So there's a lot of interesting business opportunities, and blockchain's going to really disrupt financials.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I've always been excited about crowdfund because crowdfund gives you a way of financing something that also creates the field.
Mm.
So you're nurturing and building a field at the same time you're financing, and it's integrated. It's a very holistic thing. You know, Wall Street didn't get it because to them it's small amounts, but the reality is with blockchain and new technologies, you don't need large amounts of capital. You know, so in fact, a technology that allows you to radically reduce the capital you need and finance it as you're, you know, contiguous with building your consumer markets, you know, it's infinitely more productive, not for Wall Street, but for everybody else. So, you know, for entrepreneurs, it's great. What I find, one of the applications I find really exciting about cryptocurrencies is ICOs.
Yeah.
Because if you can use ICOs to get around, and it'll have to be offshore for now, but to get around the, you know, extraordinary regulatory blockages to prevent, you know, all of the United States is overwhelmed by regulations designed to make it impossible for you to do anything without Wall Street.
Yeah.
And it's in my opinion, it's destroyed our economy relative to what it could be. And so if entrepreneurs can use ICOs to get around this, you know, there's tremendous possibilities.
And what do you think the impact of 7 billion people coming online has to that field that you're talking about?
Well, I think for most Americans, it's going to be incredibly shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of the developed world, because I was telling you the other day, I was watching this wonderful interview between Jack Ma and Bill Clinton and Elizabeth Holmes, who's the CEO of Theranos, which is the blood testing company that basically went from being worth $9 billion to $0 billion, you know, because of really seriously fraudulent behavior, according to the Wall Street Journal, and I think they're right. Anyway, so on one hand, you had two people who were completely spoiled by government-created capital and living in la-la. You know, they're living in la-la land in terms of money. And here's Jack Ma, who's built a business all designed around what can I do to help people. One of the things he always explains is they didn't make money for the first 3 years because they're just trying to help people. It's very much like the Solari report. We're just trying to help people, and then, you know, we see what can we do to cover our costs. And Jack Ma is talking about real markets, real people, real needs at a highly granular, at a subatomic particle level, because that's his world. His world is satisfying things on an economic basis at a subatomic particle level, and he loves it. He finds it infinitely fascinating. And Bill Clinton and Elizabeth Holmes are looking at him, and they're just like, they don't know what to do. It's like two parallel systems, because he's coming from hunger. You know, here's a guy who's coming from extreme poverty. He's dealing with thousands of entrepreneurs who are coming from extreme hunger, and they are hungry.
Yeah.
And you know something? They will deal at a subatomic particle level with incredible intent. They will bring a Goldman Sachs intensity to a 10-cent deal.
Yeah.
And you know, America, I came back from China in 1997, and I had gone to China to see if I couldn't create several database development joint ventures with different Chinese universities and some of their satellites. And I came back, I was so excited, Jason, because I had, one of the things I'd calculated was I could do my data servicing in America. It was the database development. You know,
gotcha.
For me to hire somebody out of MIT, I had to pay $150,000 to $200,000. I could get an MIT PhD in China for $10,000. So I came back, and I was so excited because everybody there was ready to invent and create and do. And I came back, and I sat down with my team, and all the senior people were just, like, stuck. All they wanted were government contracts and $125,000 and to live in. And I thought, you know, maybe I should shut the company down and move to China. So this is going to be a cultural wave that we're not ready for.
I agree.
And here's the other thing. This is what Joseph Farrell has talked about and Sacre has talked about on the Solari Report. And I know I'm going on, but forgive me. The multipolar world is a complex world. It's a 26-track world. Americans have been dumbed down into a two-track world. And now you're talking about millions of entrepreneurs who love the 26-track, can function at the 26-track, and they're just going to, you know, and you have two choices. You could look at them and say, here's the opportunity of my life because I have thousands of potential customers or partners who are willing to deal with the complexity. Or you can look at it and say, this is really scary.
Yeah. And we need to appreciate they're going to have access to the same tools and toys
right.
that we have.
Right.
So they're going straight to develop level tools and toys.
Right.
So watch out, developed world. Here they come.
Here they come.
All right. I want to finish. Well, maybe not finish. The second last one is about health and longevity. And this
right.
is really important because at Solari, we always talk about we're going to choose humanity or the inhuman path. And health and longevity is a classic example where this is playing out. So let's do the artificial. I call them the silly boys. SI stands for silicon, so the silicon boys. And they believe, they truly believe that they're born, a baby is actually a biological computer.
They think we're machines.
Yeah, they think we're machines.
Right.
And that's the way they think. And they want to save humanity by making us better machines. So that's their mindset. So the technology they're rolling out is things like CRISPR-Cas9 and CAR-T technology, which takes your cells, genetically modifies them, either internally or takes them out of the body externally. It's CAR-T technology. Genetically modifies the cancer gene or something that's wrong with you, then regrows that genetically modified gene a billion cells, and then puts it back in. So they were creating GMO humans. That's their way of solving the problem.
Now, I want you to say that again because you slipped over it. GMO humans.
That's what I call them. That's my label.
Right. I introduced you while we're out here to Scott Tipps of the National Health Federation, and he has a new cover on their magazine that they're trying to market GMO food as biofortified.
Yeah, they'll spin it
so they'll be biofortified humans.
Well, and the way they're spinning it is that we're going to live to where 120, and if you live long enough, you'll actually take your biological machine, your consciousness, and put it in the same avatar and live forever. That's their promise. They also want to put Google on your brain. So right. They're going to put a chip in your neurocortex and actually wirelessly connect that to the cloud. So instead of, you know, looking at a map and saying, I need to go here, you'll blink your eyes and you'll know where you're going or something like that. It's not going to work. The brain's not going to cop that wireless chip. It's just, you're just going to end up with a brain tumor.
Right.
But this is the way they're thinking. The next layer is, well, we'll fix that brain tumor by putting nanobots into your body.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to make all these little nanobots. These are, they're so small. They're like atom size. And they're going to give them commands to go in and chew away that tumor or fix your immune system, and that's how we're going to deal with any of those.
So problems. Every time your body creates a symptom to warn you that there's a problem, they'll destroy the symptom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the underlying problem, not the underlying cause, but just the symptom, the Band-Aid. That's not the approach that I'm taking. I wish them well, and people will do that, and I think it's fine. If that's their journey, that's great. I hope they go to Mars and do it, but if they're going to do it here, I'll just have to put up with it. So the mid-ground where I think the kind of natural is meeting the artificial, and there's nothing wrong with artificial technology because we use it every day. We're using it now to have this conversation.
Exactly.
So we need to think about it in positive terms. And I'm really excited about the stem cells. It's promised a lot over the last 10 years, but they're nearly there. In 2 to 3 years, you'll see treatments where you can rebuild knee cartilage just using adult-level stem cells, so you don't need to get baby ones and put them into your own stem cells, and you'll regrow that knee cartilage, which will last about 15 years.
That's amazing.
That's
amazing.
And it's not just knees. It'll be, you know, the discs in your back and, and eventually organs. So the stem cell has a lot of promise.
Again, I want to focus... You're talking about using your own stem cells.
Correct. Not external ones. Your own ones.
Right.
So let's move into the natural. Before we do, I just want to talk a little bit about diagnostics. Everyone's getting excited about diagnostics because we can now have a lab in our hand. Like you and I visited...
I just bought one.
Correct. Right. To test our metabolic rates, which would take a visit to a million-dollar lab sitting there for a few hours getting all the tests done, we can now do in 10 minutes in our home.
Right. So I'm walking around with
a lab
in my hand, right?
Yeah, and then we can do your hormone panel by saliva or urine on a little test strip and send that off. We're getting totally empowered. So this self-empowerment with this information, we have to learn it, though. We have to, like, understand it ourselves. And then you could use Skype to ring an expert that you trust and discuss the results and the strategies. You might want to take the nanobots.
Right.
I'm not, but there's lots of different ways you can get well. The great news, I love the way the universe works. Whenever there is something that I don't really resonate with, there's always the opposite. So we always balance out. I don't want to call it good and bad because people think the nanobots is good, but I don't.
Right.
So you always have a balance. And the natural process is so exciting. We have quantum biology. These are neuroscientists and biologists and chemists now going into the subatomic and working out how does life actually work? How does the human body actually work? And they've discovered that, oh yeah, it's all about energy. So we've been focusing a lot of money, like I think it was 1971 when Nixon came out and declared war on cancer. We've now spent $9 trillion on cancer. And I had a friend who died of it a couple of weeks ago from brain cancer from, I believe, a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
We've been looking at the wrong DNA. There's a second DNA called mitochondrial DNA. This is not your double helix genome.
Right.
It's the one that regulates energy. It's kind of your software. And they've worked out how that operates efficiently. And surprise, surprise, it's all about what the ancients and the elders have always taught us. It's about reconnecting back to nature. So it's all about light physics, water, and magnetism grounding. Now, I'm not going to go into the details because we're going to be here all day. But it's really important that we now know how biology is designed to work with nature. And if we follow that, our resiliency gets incredibly strong.
Right.
Now, the other great news is there's some scientists led by Hungarians who are now looking at the proton side of the atom at a subatomical level and have realized that it's not just hydrogen, which is what's generated in the TCA cycle in the mitochondria. There's an isotope called deuterium. There's actually two isotopes of hydrogen, one called tritium, which is radioactive and decays. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about deuterium that has an extra neutron
right.
on the particle. And they have discovered that too much deuterium in your body can lead to that TCA cycle not functioning properly. So your hydrogen recycling machine is getting clogged up. And this is what's slowing down the mitochondria, and this is what's causing heteroplasmy and all these mutant mitochondria that basically makes you tired and sick. And a lot of researchers are now showing that 90% of all diseases, all chronic diseases, are now mitochondria related. So these guys are using some deuterium depleting techniques, including water, food, and even breathing exercises, to actually lower the deuterium and having tremendous success with cancer.
Right.
And I know if they can do it with cancer, we can do it with all mitochondrial diseases. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making any recommendation, but I've been studying this for a long time.
I introduced you as an entrepreneur. I should point out you're an environmental scientist.
Yeah, I do have a double degree in science. And I've been researching solutions, natural health solutions, as a hobby all my life. We won't talk about why, but there's a good reason why. And I think we may have found it. Now, we won't know. When we will know, I should know. At Uluru.
So we're going to have a lot to say on this in Uluru, because I'll have spent several months walking around with my laboratory. But here's what's so interesting. You have this explosion of knowledge about health and applications in health. We have an entire section of the U.S. stock market which is levitating on overpriced healthcare, overpriced pharmaceuticals. In fact, we just see a group of the billionaires, including the president, come out and say, they're ganging up to bring the prices down radically. We see now in the United States, 85 natural health doctors assassinated, stabbed, murdered.
That's incredible.
Well, that's what happens when you're trying to protect a highly oversubsidized market. So we're coming into a period where the level of innovation is just spinning out of control. And so many of these things are going to be being tried and applied at the same time. So it's going to be a very interesting time, but each person listening to this is going to have to take the time to be their own doctor.
And what does that do? If you become your own doctor, you take away the patient. If you take away the patient, you don't need all this healthcare system.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I have some great doctors, a great nutritionist, great doctors, great, I mean, great chiropractor. So I think you're still going to need those people.
Oh, they're not going away.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all the infrastructure, all the hospitals, all the surgeries,
right.
all the big operations, a lot of the drugs.
So here's what's going to happen. 5 to 10%. Because people went into healthcare because they wanted to heal and they wanted to save. You're going to have 5 to 10% of the doctors and the healthcare practitioners who know the official reality isn't going to true. They're going to grab all this stuff and they're going to go, fabulous. Now I can really help people. Do you know what I mean? So it's going to be very, it's back to what you said about the wave. If you're a doctor, if you're a nurse listening to this, you want to figure out how in your practice you can surf this wave, because the wave is, you can either surf it or it's going to drown
you. It's going to wipe you out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other thing I want people to think about, if you were to live to 120 years old now.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah. Think about your pension fund or superannuation fund if you're from Australia. It's a big jump. Like it's nearly adding
30%. It's particularly a big jump when all the pension funds are getting cut.
Yeah, we won't start that. So I know we've gone over time and it was bound to happen, but you and I get asked a lot about children.
Right.
So what are we going to do for the kids and the grandkids that right. are in our life?
Right.
So there's a couple of things I want to mention. The first recommendation, and I can't recommend this highly enough, is keep the placenta. So when your baby is born or your grandchild's born, you want to keep the placenta. That is the highest concentration of the most important stem cells.
For your family.
And for that child.
For that child.
So that child might be 60 when they get something. They can go back to that placental stem cells, which is...
Companies that store them.
There are companies that store them.
Right.
And there's quite a few and more coming. That is going to be a very important resource coming down the track. I know a guy who's collecting baby teeth because one of the other stores of stem cells is baby teeth. But I'd rather use my own stem cells if I'm going to go into this. So I've got baby cells.
Right, so that's a resource for that child that you want to preserve for that
Correct.
Child. Right. Right.
Schooling's a big issue in most countries now. We've got compulsory vaccinations in Australia. You guys have got Common Core, which apparently been stopped.
It's getting
which
stopped.
Is great. So homeschooling as an option is really important, and maybe the Waldorf or Steiner schools if your philosophies are in line with them. Most schools now are going wireless. They will be going to 5G. They'll be given virtual reality and augmented reality headsets. These are going to run at 60 gigahertz. They're going to fry the kids' brains. You've got to be totally aware of it. And, you know, homeschooling, getting together with a few friends and starting a little mini school might be an option Right. for many. The other important thing for every child is because the myelination in their brain is not developed to about 20. So the brain is very vulnerable to EMFs, child brain. That's why, and people won't tell you, the neurosurgeons won't tell you because I think they're gagged, the number one cancer in a child, which is defined as below 15, is now glioblastoma and related brain tumours. That's the brain tumours that all the studies find from having a mobile phone or technology to your head.
Right.
It now surpassed leukemia and the blood cancers for the first time. And we haven't introduced this new tech yet.
Right.
So you need to have a technology management plan, hardwire right. your house. We won't go into all the details, but you need to have a plan.
To protect your child's brain.
Yeah, and part of that plan is actually getting into nature. It's really, every holiday you plan should be a nature holiday. Go camping, go to the beach. Really focus on getting more nature time with your kids. The other thing we talked about even at lunch today with one of your friends is building a sleep sanctuary. So you want to shut off all tech, even all light, and if you can, even electricity from the sleeping area. It's really important because that's when you rejuvenate. That's when your body gets right. a chance to repair.
Right.
And it can't repair if you've got a wireless, you know, beaming in the background and your smartphone next to your bed, it's just not going to happen, or a baby monitor next to the cot. You just got to right. really develop a sleep sanctuary. That's the main tips. When it comes to education, we hear a lot about STEM, which we'll get to in a minute, but education to me is more about principles, and the ones that I like is passion. Passion's really important, and building... Your child or grandchild is really interested in something. It may be something that doesn't interest you, but it interests them. And that life interest becomes a mission, even
if
as a child.
If you're competing with 7 billion people in a marketplace, your only chance of adding value is if you're passionate about it.
Correct. And it's going to get you up in the morning. It's going right. to motivate you. So it's really right. important. Curiosity. You got to keep asking questions. Get your kids to, you know, when they say why, keep the why. Don't think, oh, we should shut up. All this is why. You know, curiosity is really important. Of course, imagination. John Rappaport would shoot me if I didn't mention imagination. So, so important.
Right.
Don't lose your imagination. But don't forget about critical thinking.
Right.
There is so much fake news and we've got information overload. You really have to find that signal in the noise. So the best way to do that is by learning critical thinking. And the last one, which is an entrepreneurial term, is called grit.
Right.
This is persistence. This is passion and persistence. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. You know, there's no such thing as an overnight success. You just got to keep going, get up, back off the floor, go again. So grit right. is really important. When it comes to subjects and university degrees and so forth, I would steer away from accounting and law, which is always the ones that my parents are always pushing me to do. And I think they're going to get automated much quicker. Like if you look at your own accounting software now,
right.
It's amazing what you can do with this one
Right. They say it's going to get automated pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think they're open for
it. Now, I'm still, for many reasons, going to want a CPA and an attorney to interpret it all
Correct.
For me.
But the bookkeeping is now automated, really, with all the new processes they've got and scanning technology and so forth. So they talk about STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. It misses one really important part, and this is where Joseph Farrell would be very happy to hear that you need to put a big A in the STEM.
STEM.
So it becomes STEAM. And it's a capital A. Arts, culture, music, it's so critical.
Right.
And it stimulates all those other principles, the curiosity, the imagination. So arts is really important. So we don't
One of the things I wanted to mention, studies have shown that if you want your children to be highly financially literate,
mm-hmm.
don't teach them about money, teach them math.
Okay.
Make sure they're great at math. And then they can tell that this is double the size of that. And, you know, that's what you want to get. So that M on the STEAM, I think, is very important.
Well, I think that's enough. Sorry for taking so much time. But I hope they enjoyed it.
No, this is, you know, it's really interesting. We had a great article that I posted this year in One Subscriber, and it was all about how fast the autonomous cars and the different things were coming. And they said, you know, I know you've been saying this shift from 2.0 to 3.0 is coming. Mm-hmm. But I'm just now beginning to realize what you mean and what it is. Because it's hard to envision if you haven't. And one of the things I'll say, I really believe one of the reasons that the financial coup d'etat happened was they saw where the technology was going to go. And they said, you know, we're going to suck all the money out of the old world, build the new world, and then just they got to come over. Because there's no point in explaining this. The market won't function. People are too slow. And so we're just going to have a giant sucking sound of the money out, switch it, and that will pull them in. They'll have to go. So I think a lot of what happened in the 80s and 90s and aggregating that capital was in response to where they saw it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once you see where it's going, it makes sense. It makes sense. The other thing that concerns me is once they realized everybody could live into 120,
yeah.
They said, okay, well, maybe we need to lower the fertility rate.
Which they are doing.
Yeah. They're lowering the life expectancy and they're lowering the fertility rate. Okay, well, Jason, it's always a pleasure. It's always inspiring to speak with you. And I will see you in Uluru.
Can't wait.
I should mention we still have two places left.
Wow.
We have two places. We didn't have two places last week, but
yeah.
Unfortunately somebody for family reasons couldn't come. So we now have two places. So there's still a chance to hang out with Jason for a week in Uluru,
take that ticket. I would. And I'm not saying it because we need to sell them. It's just a trip of a lifetime.
It is a trip of a lifetime.
And we have some really important news to share with that audience as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll see you in Uluru.
Thank you.
Thank you.